Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Second Row Conversations. I am Letitia, also known as Lady P, and I'm so glad you decided to join me on today. So I'm about to begin a new segment, I guess you can say, on the Second Row Conversations, and it is going to be called MOTW or Message of the Week. And so what I'm going to be doing is coming and giving you some nuggets from the message that I received on the previous Sunday. And then when I have my guests on, we're going to kind of talk about their message as well, the message they received at their service. And it's something to kind of keep you encouraged, some things to think about, and maybe give you a little motivation for the week, okay? And so this week, my message of the week was from my husband, my pastor, Elder Jeremy Plowden. And one thing I'm going to say is I tell people all the time that even though he's my husband and I love him dearly, even if he wasn't my husband, I would be saying he is a preaching man. He always gives me something, always gives me some nuggets to be able to kind of stand by and live on and be able to share with other people. So this week, we're going to talk about it just for a few minutes, okay? So it comes from Luke. This week, he came from Luke 22, verses 31 through 34. And he doesn't always give a title. Throughout this message, he may say something, and I go, ooh, that was a good title. That could be a good subject for the message. So this week, it was, I fell, but I got back up. And I'll give you a little bit about that. So in Luke 22, 31 through 34, it's a little background, just real quick. That's when Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he is specifically talking to Peter. And he is telling Peter, you know, the enemy wants to sift you like wheat, but I pray for you, Peter, so that when you fall, and I'm kind of paraphrasing right now, when you are converted, you come back and you can strengthen the other disciples. Okay, so that's what we're going to kind of focus on today. Just some nuggets. So we've all fallen. We've all been in situations where we've been tempted, and we are, you know, the sin is not the temptation. It's yielding to the temptation. That's the sin. And so we've all fallen, and we've been tempted. And we know that the enemy is wanting to shake up and destroy our lives. That's a given. That's what he wants to do. And so we have to be mindful and cognizant of that. One thing he said that I said he is absolutely right is we've all fallen even after we've given our lives to God. Can I get an amen on that? We've all fallen even once we have said, okay, God, I'm giving my life to you. I'm living for you. But we've all messed up. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And so we have to be honest about that. Okay. And that was one thing he said at the beginning is that we have to be honest. Can we all just be honest for a moment that we've all fallen short and haven't done what we were supposed to do? Just a little bit back what I said, Satan's main desire is to disgrace and embarrass the heart of God. And how does he do that? By using us. We can think of situations that we've been in, or we know our brothers and our sisters have been in, where they've yielded, they've given into that temptation, and it was really an embarrassment. And when that happens, the Bible says that we're supposed to pray for our brother and sister when they have fallen, not talk about them, share the text, share the Facebook post. We're supposed to talk about, we're supposed to pray for them and lift them up. But again, Satan's main desire is to disgrace and embarrass the heart of God. Another point, your faith must be greater than your stuff. We shouldn't focus on the items that we have, the job that we have, the money that we have in the bank, because those things can all go away. So your faith should not be based on the items that you have. Your faith needs to be real. Faith can't operate where there is no integrity. So you have to have integrity in your life. And he said something yesterday, and he was like, you know, you have to have faith that God is going to help you pay your bills. But your integrity comes in when you are not hiding from the bill collector. When they're calling, you're not answering the phone or avoiding the letters. Your faith says, I'm going to talk to these people and tell them, hey, I don't have it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm trusting God through it. And he gave an example of how our lives were affected when he was working for Chase. And if you worked for Chase, you remember that day when they called those people in and gave them the announcement that there was not going to be another Chase anymore. And he was in the number. And we went through a period of knowing that mortgage still had to be paid, bills still had to be paid on a one-income household. And we trusted God. And he did an amazing miracle in our life. And so that was the faith. We didn't avoid the people when it was time to pay the bill. We called them, we talked to them. And through God, we were able to be able to make it through that tough period. And so that's faith. Faith cannot operate where there is no integrity. When you fall or when you fail God, the answer is repentance. And what is repentance? It's turning away. It's not staying in the same state that you're in, but it is turning away from that sin and saying, God, I'm not going to do that again. Many try to give things instead of saying, I'm sorry. And we all know, we've all been in relationships or friendships where there have been issues, and instead of you saying you're sorry or the other person saying that they're sorry, they try to buy things. They try to give you things. They try to take you out. They try to do everything except of just saying, I'm sorry. And instead of turning from doing what they were doing, instead of changing their ways, they just try to buy their way out or pay their way out or gift their way out. That's the same thing we do with God. We, instead of just going to him and saying, God, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm sorry for making that mistake. And I'm going to turn from doing the same thing again. We just try to give money, or we try to do things in the church and say, I am in ministry and I am singing, I'm ushering, I'm doing all these things, but you're still living in that sin, or you're still in that fallen state. The main thing God wants us to do is accept it, that we've messed up, acknowledge that we've messed up, and turning from that. Okay. So we have to acknowledge that and remember that. So again, the subject that I kind of came up with based off what he talked about was, I fell, but I got back up. So why does the fallen have to get back up? Why is it important that after you fall, that you get back up? Back on the scripture where Jesus tells Peter, I need you to be converted so that you can come back to strengthen the others. The importance of getting back up is because when you've fallen, there is a side of God that you've seen that others haven't seen yet. That was a poignant point, because when you fall, there is a side of grace, of forgiveness that you've seen that others who may not have fallen haven't seen. And you need to be able to get back up so that you can go and talk to that person that may have fallen or don't understand that God is a forgiving God. And you can say, hey, I've been there. I've gone through this. I have experienced being fallen. I've experienced being in a fallen state. And I understand that even in that time of disgrace and disappointment and embarrassment, that God still loves you and that he still wants to be with you, that he hadn't left you. He won't leave you or forsake you. I'm a witness. And so that's why it's important that you get back up. However, once you've fallen and once you have gone through that state, it's important, again, to be in a state of repentance, to turn away, to not do a 360, but a 180. You know, a 360 is a full circle. So you're going back to where you started. A 180 is half of that. So you start one way and you turn around and you go the other way. So it's important that once you've fallen, that you get back up, say, God, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it again. I need your help so that I don't do it again. That even if that temptation comes, that I am able to not yield and then be able to strengthen your brothers and your sisters. That's the important thing. And it's to also get back up physically and spiritually. You have to understand that you may be embarrassed. So you get back up and you go back out and you go start doing the things you were doing as far as being out in public. Because there's sometimes when you are so embarrassed that you don't want to be seen. You don't want to go out. You don't want to go to Walmart, or you just order your groceries online and just go pick it up because you don't want to be in the public. But you have to get back up physically, and you have to get back up spiritually. You have to have that relationship with God to say, God, I'm sorry, and I need your help. You have to continue to read your Bible. You have to continue to worship. You have to continue to pray. So it's important that you get back up physically and spiritually so that you can, again, go strengthen your brothers and your sisters. And you don't know who you are assigned to or who has been assigned to your life. And so while you are living a good life and everything is going well, it's important to treat people right. It's important to treat people nice. Because if that time comes and you have fallen and you have to get back up, you don't know who's been assigned to your life so that you can strengthen them. And so if you've been that nasty, disrespectful, rude, condescending person to others, and then when it's time for you to strengthen them, they may not want to hear from you because of how you were previously. So you have to remember that you should always treat people with respect, always be nice to people. I'm not saying you're going to always agree with people, but you have to remember that you are representing Christ in all that you say and you do. So always remember that you don't know who's assigned to your life. So treat people right. Treat people as if the way you want to be treated, right? Treat people right. And so if you do that and it's a time that you have to strengthen them, people are going to remember, hey, I remember when she was nice to me. So there may be a word that she has for me and I need to hear what she has to say. And then just a little extra nugget that he said I thought was so important. Life is lifing, and there are mountains that we have to experience. There was a song that he referenced, and if you're of a certain age, you're going to remember this song, but I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. And one thing he said that I thought was so true is life isn't flat. Life isn't flat. So there are mountains that we have to climb, and the rough side gives you an opportunity to grab onto something and keep going. And what do you grab on? What should you be grabbing on is knowing that God is there. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He is with you in every obstacle that you have to experience. He is right there with you. And when you fall, because we all fall, it is not a if you fall, it is a when you fall, you have to remember that I have to get back up. I can't stay here. I have to acknowledge what I've done. I have to tell God I'm sorry and turn from my ways and then be able to strengthen my brothers, just like Peter. The end of that scripture talks about Jesus telling Peter, oh, you're going to deny me before crows three times. You're going to deny me. And Peter said, absolutely not, Jesus. I'm right there with you. But if you go on further, you're going to remember, yes, he did. Peter did deny Jesus three times. However, as the scripture goes on, Peter does get back up. He is ashamed. He is disgraced. He can't believe that he did it, but he gets back up. And the scripture goes on to tell us that he does come back. After Jesus tells the disciples, go get Peter and bring him back. And he is there to strengthen his brother. So just remember this week that when you fall, don't stay there. Get back up, so that you can come back and strengthen your brothers and sisters. This is your MOTW, your message of the week. I ask that you remember to subscribe, like, follow, and share Second Row Conversations. We're here every week, every Wednesday, to help you, to inspire you, to give you something that will keep you throughout the week. I thank you to those who have been reaching out to me, telling me how much that this has helped. I appreciate you. I thank you for being there, helping me through this journey, and I ask that you continue to be there. And so as I close, and I forgot to do this last week, so please forgive me, but as I close, I ask that you remember that wherever you are, wherever God has placed you, even in this fallen state, if you're there, accept it, embrace it, and flourish in it. Don't stay there if you're in a fallen state, but wherever you are, accept it, embrace it, and flourish in it. Okay. We see you next time. Thank you. God bless you.